Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Tanis daf Yud Ches Wan Yud Zayin Amid Beis. We thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf will be learned with Zeichen Nishmas Lois Lupin Zaltzman. Let's continue. Yesterday, the discussion turned into a question of Kohanim. Nowadays, can we drink wine? I'm not a member, but can they drink wine and can they? Must they get a haircut? We know that in the Beis Hamikdash, Bizman Beis Hamikdash, so they had to. They had to be sober, right? Free of alcohol. Actually, yeah. The Gemara elsewhere says anything that intoxicates. But they had to have been sober, and they have to have also gotten a haircut prior to going into the Beis Hamikdash. If their hair has grown longer than 30 days, we learn through Gzeira Shava that is a punishable act. Going into the Beis Hamikdash with long hair. In fact, the Gemara says that's Gemara yesterday said that's Misa Bidei Shamayim. Okay, so the Kohanim. What about nowadays? Nowadays we don't have a Beis Hamikdash, but Bimheri abandoned the Beis Hamikdash. Aren't we worried that the Beis Hamikdash is going to be built momentarily, and therefore aren't they all on call? And so the Gemara yesterday offered the opinion of Rabbi Huda Nasi, who says that basically, fundamentally, yeah, I kind of agree, meaning I kind of hear the fact that they shouldn't be drinking nowadays, but mana se. But Rabbi Yehuda Anasi said, but what am I supposed to do? Takanaso kalkalaso. And the cryptic statement of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, which yesterday we offered a couple of explanations of what that means, but just to go over Rashi again, it basically means it's been so many years since the Beis Hamikdash has been destroyed, and therefore we kind of... the Kohanim, it's hard for them to be focused, to stay focused and to be sober, so for all those years. And Rabbi Yehuda Anasi was making that comment 100 years after the destruction of the temple. Can only imagine now, 2,000 years after the destruction, right? It's hard to stay focused. But, we still think about it, obviously. I have a day dedicated to it, Tisha B'Av, but, okay. In the time of the Beis Hamikdash, it was only the Kohanim who were on shift. But the Gemara was discussing nowadays when the Kohanim are, we don't know. I don't know when I'm going to get called up. Okay. Then the Gemara went to the topic of hair and hair grooming. Remember yesterday we went over the schedules. The king gets a haircut every day. A Kohen Gadol gets a haircut once a week because every week he's going to be seeing a new Mishmar. So therefore he wants to look presentable. And the Stam, a regular Kohen, so he needs to get a haircut at least every 30 days because of the Psukim in Sefer Yecheskel. Okay? In the Gemara we are on Yud Zayin Amid Beis. We're picking it up where we left off yesterday. So, and the question basically that we were entertaining yesterday, dealing with yesterday, was how come it is that for the Kohen, the Rebbe's position was the Kohen can drink. Fine, because Takanasa Kilkalasa. But that was Rebbe's position, the Chachamim disagree. And meanwhile, when it comes to a haircut, like nobody balks, meaning a haircut, the Kohanim aren't nowadays careful about getting a haircut every 30 days. Why not? Why aren't the Kohanim careful? So that was a question that we asked yesterday. So we are right now in the middle of giving a number of answers. So Rav Ashi Amar, in the Gemara, Yudzayin Amid Beis, this is Rav Ashi's attempt to answer the question. So Rav Ashi Amar, Shesuyam, Demach Levoda, Gazru Be Rabbanan, Puri Rosh, Lamach Levoda, Lo Gazru Be Rabbanan. So answer of Rav Ashi is, look, there's a fundamental difference. You're right. A Kohen cannot go into the Beis HaMikdash and do the Avoda while intoxicated. A Kohen cannot go into the Beis HaMikdash while having long hair. You're right. But there's a fundamental difference in that doing the Avoda while intoxicated, it disqualifies the Avoda. Doing the Avoda while having long hair does not disqualify the Avoda. Makes for the Gemara says that distinction that Rav Ashi is giving, which is a fundamental distinction, doesn't seem to be true. Meanwhile, the Gemara quotes the Brisa. The Brisa says that for being drunk or for having long hair, the punishment is Misa Bidei Shamayim, death by the hands of heaven, which we pointed out yesterday, is just a shade lower than Kares. But they're both the same punishment. And so basically what the Gemara is asking is, if there's the same punishment, shouldn't the result be the same? Meaning, if they do the avoda while either being drunk or while having long hair, shouldn't the result be the same, which is that the avoda that they do is disqualified? Now, So the pasuk says explicitly that they cannot be drunk while doing the avoda, right? Ela puri rosh min alan. But this idea of having long hair, how do we know about it? The chsiv rosham lo yigalechu fer lo yishalechu. Pasuk for Yecheskel, which says that they can't grow long hair. Uksiv basrei v'yayin lo yishu kol kolim bevam elachatzer panimis. And in that pasuk in Yecheskel, it mentions not having long hair, and juxtaposed to that is the pasuk regarding drinking, that they're not allowed to drink. V'itkish pura rosh shesui yayin. And obviously in Yecheskel we have a hekesh. Now again, as I pointed out yesterday, and the Gemara will address this, we have a hekesh out of Sefer Yecheskel, meaning that's a navi. That's not normally the source of halacha. So navi can echo halacha, but navi is not a source of halacha. I say usually, I mean never. So mashe suyayim b'misa puri rosh b'misa. So and what do we learn from this hekesh in Sefer Yecheskel? That they're both misa b'dei shamayim. That if a kohen does the avoda while either A, being drunk, or B, having long hair, the punishment is misa b'dei shamayim. Umina. And as long as we're here, and as long as we have a hekesh, and as long as we see that they're on equal footing, so then let's just simply go with it. Which is imash yisuyayin the machle avoda after rosh machle avoda. So just like being drunk disqualifies the avoda that the kohen is doing, so to having long hair disqualifies the avoda that the kohen's doing. Skip parentheses. Amalei Ravin la Ravashi hamikam dasi yecheskel man amra. So let's skip the parentheses. Okay, so Ravina says to Ravashi, well, let me ask you another question, right? Even before answering this question. Meaning, all this is being learned from Sefer Yecheskel. Before Yecheskel came around, where did all this come from? Meaning, how can you have a halacha being derived from Sefer Yecheskel? It's a navi. So, ein navi rasha lechadesh davar. Navi has no right to introduce new halacha. So where is this coming from? Amalei l'tam echad amar evchista davazem mitoros mashenu l'amanu medivir kabbalah l'amanu. So the Gemara says, okay, it's a fair question. He doesn't answer the question directly, but I'll ask you another question. Kol b'necha leva arel basar lo yavol mikdashi. So the pasuk in Yecheskel says that if you have a kohen who's uncircumcised, he can't go into the Beis HaMikdash. Where does it say that in the Torah? The answer is, it doesn't say that in the Torah. So the Gemara's answer is, it's halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. Meaning, Yecheskel is not the source of the halacha. The halacha that an arolev, that an uncircumcised kohen cannot go into the Beis HaMikdash, and needless to say, can't do the avoda, that is halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. And what all Yecheskel, now we could say it, Yecheskel is just simply echoing the halacha. Not sourcing the halacha, but echoing the halacha. So the same thing is going to be true over here regarding our halacha of Shesui Yain and Puri Rosh. Meaning that the Kohen who's drunk and the Kohen who has long hair, so he can't do the avoda. He can't go into the Beis HaMikdash, he can't do the avoda. And how do I know that? So for the Shesui Yain, I have a pasuk in Chumash. For the Puri Rosh, Halach L'Moshe Mitzrayim. And Yecheskel is echoing the Halach L'Moshe Mitzrayim. He is not, it's not a source. It still brings us all the way back to the original question the Gemara asked, which at this point in time now, we can, I'll read the next line of Gemara, which is in parentheses, but first let's just reset the question. The question still on the table is, we now know, we've established, that if we have a Kohen who has either drunk or is not groomed, right, has let his hair grow for over 30 days. So we know that in both cases, if the Kohen does the avoda, it's chayv misa b'dei shamayim, right? It's punishable by death by the hands of heaven. Okay, that we know that's established. And the only question that's left with, which was really the beginning of where we started this morning, where we left off yesterday, why Kohanim nowadays are not careful about getting haircuts every 30 days. And now with the Gemara, we go back to Ravashi's answer. Ravashi says, well, fundamentally they're different. Why are they fundamentally different? Well, because a drunk Kohen doing the Avoda is disqualified. The Avoda is disqualified. But a Kohen with long hair who does the Avoda is not disqualified. Well, why should that be a difference? Meaning they're both Chayv Misa B'dei Shamayim. They're both connected in the Pasuk in Yecheskel. So to which now the Gemara is or is not going to give an answer to that question. Now, why do I say that? Well, the girsa we have, let's take a look inside, ki gemira halach lamisa, lachule avoda lo gemiri. So in our Gemara, we have the version of, well, even though we have halach l'moshe misinai, it's only regarding the punishment of the ungroomed kohen going and doing the avoda, but in terms of the actual avoda itself, there is no halach l'moshe misinai, meaning that the avoda would be acceptable. That is what we have. If you look at the Gemara in Sanhedrin, same Gemara that we have over here is in the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara in Sanhedrin ends off with a one-word answer, which is kasha. It's difficult, meaning the Gemara in Sanhedrin does not provide an answer. And so, in Achinami, meaning it sounds like from the Gemara in Sanhedrin that the two are on equal footing with one another. And then to the question of, so then why are Kohanim nowadays not getting a haircut? So then we don't have a great answer. Although you could go back to yesterday's answer, which is that if in the event the Beit HaMikdash is built, they could quickly run and get themselves groomed and ready to go. But that, okay. Anyway, so that ends the discussion of the Kohanim nowadays, of whether or not they are allowed to drink wine or need to get a haircut. And we move on in the Gemara. Okay, let's just quickly introduce this topic, and then we will run through really the beginning of today's daf, meaning today's sugya. Okay, Megillas Tanis, we've discussed it already a number of times. We discussed it back in Rosh Hashanah, but let's just quickly refresh. Megillas Tanis is a work. It is not Tanakh. At the same time, however, it was written down, right? We always say the word kasuv. When it comes to Megillas Tanis, it was a written work. Basically, in it is a series of days where the Jews either enjoyed a salvation or there was a fast, a calamity that befell the Jewish people. And so therefore, these dates that are marked on Megillas Tanis are to be observed either as a festival, as a minor festival, obviously, or as a day of sadness. And basically, Megillas Tanis covers the year, spans the year from the beginning of the year, which is the first day of Nisan, all the way to the end of the year, and it goes over all these historical events. Most of these historical events took place during the Second Temple, but I do not want to give the impression that I am familiar with Megillas Tanis. I have not read it. The only parts of Megillas Tanis that I'm familiar with, those are parts that the Gemara quotes, happens to be that today's daf we're going to quote extensively from Megillas Tanis, and it's written in Aramaic because all works in the time of the Second Temple were written in Aramaic. They spoke Aramaic, right? Just I know we sometimes we don't think of these terms, but they spoke Aramaic during the Second Temple, meaning in Eretz Yisrael during the Second Beit HaMikdash. So the language that was spoken was Aramaic. Okay, just so it's certainly an oddity, but that certainly seems to be the case. Okay, in Megillas Tanis, if we're going to talk about these minor festivals, we're going to put them basically in two categories. The two categories are major minor festival and minor festival. Okay, in other words, grade A and grade B, if you will. Okay, grade A festival means, and I, as I mentioned before, I don't know what exactly it was to cross that threshold. Like, how happy did it have to be where it's going to turn into a grade A festival as opposed to like just a grade B festival? I don't know what the threshold was, but if it was a major salvation, so then this date that's recorded in Megillas Tanis, not only we're not allowed to fast on that day, but we're not allowed to eulogize on that day as well. So if, God forbid, somebody has a death, so we do the burial, but no eulogies, because it's a festival day. It's a festive day. On the other hand, it could be just a grade B, which is a grade B, meaning that it's a minor festive day, so you're not allowed to fast on that day. But if there's a death and there's a burial, so we would eulogize on the day. So basically, those are the two categories of festivals in Megillas Tanis. One other word of introduction, and that is, remember, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah we learned not that long ago, which is Batla Megillas Tanis, that Megillas Tanis is no longer in force, meaning we still have the document, we still know the dates, but they're no longer observed, with two notable exceptions, of course, and that's Chanukah and Purim. Chanukah and Purim are the two dates that are mentioned in Megillas Tanis that are still observed to this very day, but other than that, no other dates in Megillas Tanis are observed. One more point of introduction. You remember our Mishnah here in Tanis. Our Mishnah in Tanis says that basically the Chachamim put buffers around the dates mentioned in Megillas Tanis. So there are two opinions in our Mishnah. Let's just quickly review both opinions. First, the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says there's a buffer. if it's a grade A festival, meaning it's a festival where it's a lot of misbehaved, you're not allowed to eulogize on the day. So you not only are not allowed to fast and eulogize on the day itself, mention Megillas Tanis, but neither on the day before nor on the day after. A buffer is created, okay, to basically insulate that day, to make sure that that day remains a festive day. If it's a grade B festival, so Rabbi Yossi says, meaning you're not allowed to fast on that day, you're also not allowed to fast on the day before, but you are allowed to fast the day after.
So the only difference is the day after. The only difference.
Right, correct. The only difference is going to be the day after. That's Rav Yossi's position. And then there was in our Mishnah, the Tanakama's position. Let's call the Tanakama Rabbi Meir, because that's who it is, and we'll see that later on as well. And Rav Meir is more lenient. I guess you would say more lenient. I can go either way on describing what it is. But just simply say what it is. According to Rav Meir, if it's a grade A, if it's a lola misbeit, if it's a day which you're not allowed to eulogize, so then you're only prohibited from eulogizing, fasting the day before, but the day after would be okay. If it's a grade B, lolis anos, so then you're allowed to fast and eulogize both the day before and the day after, according to Rabbi Meir.
So leniency in terms of fasting,
huh? Right.
Fast, not.
Right. Correct. So, but in Rabbi Meir is basically one level lower than Rav Yossi in both category A and category B. Later this morning, we're going to ask a really simple question and a really good question, which is Purim. Is which category? Category A or category B? You don't know the answer, but we can all guess. Let's call it category A. Meaning Purim is a major festival. So, right in the Megillas Tanis. So that means that you're not allowed to fast and eulogize on Purim. Good. And that would also mean, then, that I'm not allowed to fast and eulogize the day before Purim. Right? If it's the Megillas Tanis, which it is. And it's enforced, which it is. So, well, later on, we're going to ask a really simple question, and it's a good one. So then how do we, the Jewish people, fast the day before Purim? No, I shouldn't expect an answer. It's a good question. We're going to ask that question later this morning. It's not, the Gemara doesn't even ask the question. Tosus asked that question. Okay, so, but stay tuned. That's, I'm just foreshadowing a question that we'll ask later on. Okay, so far so good. Everyone's ready. Let's begin. The Gemara here quotes a Braisa. Now, this is not a Braisa. This is actually Megillas Tanis. We are now reading the opening sentence of Megillas Tanis. Okay, everyone ready? It's a little bit of Aramaic. Eilin yomen dolo lisana bahon. There are days that you're not allowed to fast. Umeksasna dolo mispad bahon. And some of them you're not allowed to eulogize. Basically, the beginning of Megillas Tanis tells us that there are two levels of festive days. There's a festive day that you're not allowed to fast, and there's a festive day that you're not allowed to eulogize, which means that it's a more festive day. And then that's it. That's the entire introduction to Megillas Tanis. Okay, it's not that flowery. It's not that much. It's one sentence, and then we begin. Meiresh Yarcha Denisan Tamna Bei. It took him to Mida. Dolala Misbed Bahon. So from day one of Nisan. So we're beginning the calendar in the beginning of the year. Remember, beginning of the year, first day of Nisan. So from the first day of Nisan to the eighth day of Nisan, so eight consecutive days are now made its way into Megillas Tanis. And they are major festivals. You're not allowed to eulogize on that days. Mitamnaya be'at sof mo'ada, from day eight until the end of Pesach. Let's call the end of Pesach day 20. Let's call it day 21. Okay, let's assume Eretz Yisrael. Let's call it day 21. So from the eighth day of Nisan till day 21, itut of Chaga de Shvuai. So we established the Yontav of Shvuos, Lola Misbed Bahon. And so therefore they too are festive days, and you're not allowed to eulogize on these days. Okay. Period. That is the opening sentences of Megillas Tanis. Let me explain a little bit better. Okay, let's go over the first series of days, from day one to day eight. Now, you'll notice, of course, that from day one to day eight, that's not one day, that's an eight-day period. Okay, so we can already assume that in Megillas Tanis, it doesn't necessarily work in blocks of day. It can sometimes work in blocks of a week, or in this particular case, in a block of 8 days. Okay, 8 days where the Talmud was established. What is the Gemara talking about? So Rashi over here fills in a little bit of detail. Rashi says that back then, I'm paraphrasing, that back then there was a major debate between the traditional Jews and the, we'll call them the Tzedukim, the Baitusim, right? The non-traditionalists, where they felt that you can donate a carbon tamid, right? An individual can donate a carbon tamid. And they quoted psukim that support their position that an individual can donate a carbon tamid. Now we know, right? Remember Masechta Shkalim? That's not correct. Meaning the carbon tamid has to come from communal money. It cannot come from private donation. And this turned into a major debate, and they were, I don't know enough history, but certainly you get the sense in the Gemara that these tzedukim had political clout, and it wasn't just this like little rogue segment who thought something. They had a political foothold, and their position was taken very seriously, even though it's not a correct position. Finally, the traditionalists got their position passed through, if you will, and the carbon tamid only came from the communal money and not from private donation. And this debate, if you will, took place from the first day of Nisan and finally successfully passed through on the eighth day of Nisan. So if these days from 1 through 8 of Nisan, because we were successful in getting through the correct halacha, which is that the carbon tamid is coming from communal money, so these days now turn into festive days. Okay, that's 1 through 8. Now let me explain the next series, which is 8 through 21. 8 through 21 are the days which Shavuos was established. What did the Tzedukim feel? They felt that Shavuos should always fall out on a Sunday. And what they did is, very often, they manipulated the months so that the second day of Pesach will fall out on a Sunday, so that Shavuos will fall out on a Sunday. Why they feel that Shavuos fell out on a Sunday? They had a couple of reasons why they felt that that was so important. First of all, the Torah says when describing the Karban Omer, when you bring the Karban Omer, it means Macharas HaShabbos, the day after Shabbos. That's the Torah's description. The day after Shabbos, okay, so they thought that I'm going to bring the Karban Omer the day after Shabbos. Two is that, and Rashi brings it down, and it's a Gemara in Menachos. Two, they thought, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted us to have a two-day weekend, right? You know, July 4th this year falls out on a Friday. So it works out well, meaning we have our three-day weekend. But, you know, often is a time where July 4th doesn't fall out exactly, you know, on the weekend. And so somehow they squeeze in a three-day weekend. Well, the Tzedukim thought, you know, God wanted us to have an extended vacation. So it's got to, so that's why Shavuos has got to fall on a Sunday. That way we can have Shabbos and Shavuos as a two-day. And obviously these are the first argument has, you know, at least they're explaining a pasuk in the Torah. Second argument obviously is not much of an argument. But either way, in other words, they were trying to push their agenda. And we successfully defended the halacha. And again, from day 8 to 21, that's a long block of time, from 8 to 21, we were able to successfully defend the halacha, which is Shavuos falls out whenever Shavuos falls out. Which means that Pesach will fall out whenever, and then Shavuos will fall out 50 days after the second day of Pesach. Period. So, from 8 to 21 also now makes its way into Megillas Tanis. You can ask a very legitimate question, which the Gemara will ask later on, but just to make sure that we're all thinking thinking about this correctly, which is, why are we inserting days of Pesach into Megillas Tanis? Meaning Megillas Tanis are basically taking regular days and turning them into minor festivals. Pesach is already a major festival. Pesach is a Yontif. So what difference does it make now that this block of time from 8 to 21 is making its way into Megillas Tanis? It's not doing anything for days 15 through 21. Days 15 through 21 are already Yomim Tovim. Okay, that's a legitimate question. We're going to come back and we're going to answer that question later on this morning. Amar Mar. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to comment on Megillas Tanis. Gemara's first question on the table is the following. We say that the day 1 through 8 is a festive, are days that you're not allowed to eulogize. 1 through 8, 1 is Rosh Chodesh. 1 already has status. What's the point of the rabbis establishing days 1 through 8, shouldn't they do days 2 through 8? One is already covered. So Amar Rav, lo nitzuch el, also Yom Shalafanav, Vishalafanav, I'm sorry, Yom Shalafanav. So Rav says, well, no, there's a difference. If the only established days 2 through 8 and left day 1 alone because day 1 is already Rosh Chodesh, the day before Rosh Chodesh is nothing. Why? Because Rosh Chodesh is a din d'oraisa. And on dine d'oraisa, it does not affect the day before, nor does it affect the day after. I know we have this idea called Isruchag. Okay, but let's leave that out of the discussion. So if it's just day 1, if day 1 were left alone, and if we're just left Rosh Chodesh, it wouldn't affect the day before. Now that day 1 has made its way into Megillas Tanis, so not only is day 1 going to be a day which you can't eulogize, but neither the day before. We'll call that the 29th day of Adar. So Vishalafanav Nami typically the Havel Yom Shalafne Rosh Chodesh Daraisa Hu Daraisa Lo Bai Chizuk. And the Gemara just makes exactly that point, that when Rosh Chodesh itself, had it been just for the idea of Rosh Chodesh is a din Daraisa, and that in of itself wouldn't affect it the day before. Did Tanya? The Gemara quotes a Braisa Hayamim Ha'ilak Suvim Megillas Tanis of Nemel Acharem Asurim. Days that are mentioned in Megillas Tanis, the day before and the day after, are prohibited. Shabbos is v'yamim tovim, hein asurim lefnem l'achareim mutarim. Both Shabbos and Yontif, they will be prohibited, but the day before and the day after would be mutar. Umah ha'fresh mein zel hazeh, halol divrei Torah v'divrei Torah tzrichim chizuk, halol divrei sofim tzrichim chizuk. And explains the Gemara, that dine d'oraisa do not require reinforcement, but dine d'rabbanan, holidays that were instituted by the rabbis need reinforcement, and that's why the day before and the day after is going to be prohibited to fast and to eulogize as well. Okay. Amar Mar. Mitanaya be at sof moada isusif chaga deshvoi delolim ispeid. Next. The Braisa in Megillas Tanis says that from day 8 through day 21, because we successfully defended the halacha, that Shavuos falls out on whatever day Shavuos falls out, and it doesn't necessarily need to fall out on a Sunday. So we established, the Chachamim established, day 8 through 21 to make its way into Megillas Tanis. To which now the Gemara asks the question, which we alluded to earlier. So, Lama li ad sof moed, lema ad ha moed. Why do the rabbis institute from days 8 to 21, do 8 to 14? Because 15 to 21 is Pesach. So what do we gain? So the Gemara says, Umay gufa yom tavu, vaser, amar av papa, kada amar av, lo nitzucha ela le'asa yom shalafanav, hachanami lo nitzucha ela le'asa yom shalacharav. So the Gemara says, well, here's what we gain. To go from 8 to 21, you're right. 15 to 21 are going to be unaffected, because it's already yontif. But now that day 21 of Nisan is in Megillas Tanis, that means that not only you're not allowed to fast on the 21st day of Nisan, but you're also not allowed to fast on the 22nd day of Nisan, because it's the day after. So the Gemara says, now slow down. Keman kerev yosi damar ben lafana ben lachar vasar, ihachi vasim v'tisha nami. Ma'ir dahavi yuma de mekama, yuma de mitukam tamida, tebegle dahavi yuma de basar esrim v'tam nayabe. Well, the Gemara says, now, in order for this to answer to work, it means that we're subscribing to the viewpoint of Rav Yossi. Remember, in our Mishnah Machlokas between Rav Meir and Rav Yossi, it is the opinion of Rav Yossi that any date recorded in Megillas Tanis affects the day before and the day after. So the Gemara says, okay, if it were just for the Nisan dates, that's fine, but here's the problem. The problem is, we didn't know this, but now we're going to be introduced to this idea that if we go back to Adar, the 28th day of Adar is one of the dates of Megillas Tanis. And so therefore, if the Braisa is subscribing to the viewpoint of Rav Yossi, so now follow. The 28th day is a date recorded in Megillas Tanis, so that means that it affects the 27th and the 29th. So you already have the 29th covered. And what did the Gemara say earlier? Well, I need the first day to be Megillas Tanis, so it affects the day before. Well, the day before has already been covered because of the 28th. So basically now we have the 29th day of Adar being affected twice. Once because of the 28th, and once because of the 1st. And basically the Gemara is presenting this as a question, why would the Chachamim need to do that? Okay. Now, it's interesting because, I don't know, in other words, maybe you could just simply say historically, whatever date it was just simply a date, and even if you have a day which is being, you know, overlapped, okay. I mean, but the date is a date. That could have been a simple answer. The Gemara is going to give a couple of suggestions. First things first, let's introduce ourselves to the 28th day of Adar. So as I mentioned in the beginning of today's daf, we're going to see a sampling of dates that are mentioned in Megillas Tanis, but we're only covering it just to understand the mechanics of Megillas Tanis. We're not actually going through it from beginning to end, obviously. So here we go. Let's quote. Be'etzem Etana Bey, Asas Besurta Tavasa Liyudai. On the 28th day of Adar, good news came to the Jewish people. Delo Yehidim Min Araisa. We were not removed. We were not extracted from the Torah. We were reconnected to Torah. Shapamachas Nigzor Gzera Yisrael Shalei Yesku B'Torah. A decree was made on the Jewish people that they should not learn Torah. Shalei Yimolos B'Nehem, that they shouldn't give circumcisions to their sons. V'Yishichalu Shabbosos, and they should violate the Shabbos. Ma'asa Yehuda Ben Shamua V'Cheverav. What did Yehuda ben Shammua do together with his friends? Now, this story may sound familiar. It should sound familiar. We did this very Gemara back in Rosh Hashanah. Achavanatlu Eitza Mimachunisa Achas. They go to a particular matron, Shekol Gedola Roman Mesuyin Etzla. The Roman leadership spent time by her. Okay, we can pretty much guess her profession. The Amra Lahem Amdu Vihivgina Balayla. And so she gives the following advice, Hafkana. Okay, anyone who's been in Israel for some time, you know Hafkana means protest. So Hafkana, so basically stage a protest. Hachu v'yifkinu balayla. So they protested at night, and here was their slogan. Amru, Ish Shamayim. They said to heaven. Lo achim anachnu. They say to the Romans, we're brothers. Lo b'nei avachar anachnu. We come from the same father. Lo b'nei em achas anachnu. We come from the same mother. Manishtanina mikol umah v'lashon. So therefore, why do you treat us differently? Shatem gozer malen gzeros raos. Gzeros raos, that you decree evil decrees upon us. So basically, you're profiling us, and meanwhile we're brothers. We're same mother, same father. We're connected. We're related. Okay, uvatlum. And the Gemara tells us, successful protest, decrees were lifted, the Oso Hayamaso Yomtov, and therefore that day now turns into a festive day, and that is the 28th day of Adar. So now, question on the table, 28th day of Adar is made now into Megillas Tanis, and now the Gemara is wondering, assuming we're going like Rabbi Yossi, which means that the day before and the day after are prohibited, so that means that the 28th day is covered. So is the 29th day of Adar covered. So then why would the first day of Nisan need to be included? And the answer of the Gemara was to prohibit the 29th. But the 29th has already been covered. Amar Abai, lo nitzucha ela l'chodesh me'ubar. So answer number one of the Gemara Abai's answer is, well, remember, there could be a 30th day of Adar. Usually doesn't happen. Usually Adar is chaser. Right, we had this discussion back in Masechet Rosh Hashanah that Adar is usually a deficient month, but it could be, it's possible, and in our fixed calendar, no, but it could be that Adar has 30 days. If Adar has 30 days, so then good. So then the 28th day will cover the 29th, the first day will cover the 30th. Okay, that's answer number one. Rav Ashi Amar Afilo Tem L'Chodesh Chaser, Kol Shalachar B'Tanis Aser, Behes Be'Mutter. Answer number two of the Gemara, Rav Ashi's answer. Look, even according to Rav Yossi, you're right. The day before and the day after a Megillas Tanis date is prohibited. But prohibited in what? Only in fasting. Not in eulogizing. Now that the 29th day of Adar is sandwiched between two dates of Megillas Tanis, the 28th day of Adar and the first day of Nisan, because it's now sandwiched between those 2 days, it now takes on more status, and not only you're not allowed to fast on that 29th day of Adar, but you're also not allowed to eulogize as well. Okay, another possible answer. Amar, mitam nebe atzof moada itotav chag zishvad lola misbeit. The Gemara continues quoting from Megillas Tanis. From day 8 to 21, you cannot eulogize. Lama lameima mitamnya bay, lema mitisha bay, vitamna gufe asar davla, yomaditu kambe tamida. So the Gemara says, here's another question. Look, in the month of Nisan, we only went through the first part of Megillas Tanis, but we noticed there's an overlap. meaning the first series of dates was from 1 to 8. The second series of dates was from 8 to 21. So 8 now is double dipped. Why is there why would the Chachamim, when establishing the dates, go from 1 to 8 and then from 8 to 21? Go from 9 to 21. So the Gemara says, Kevin de Ilum Mikla Milso Batlin L'Shiva Tamnaya Gufe Asa Dahavla Yuma Kamedi Tote Bechaga Deshvaya. So the Gemara says, well, let me let you in on some other mechanics of Megillas Tanis. The dates of Megillas Tanis are not Chok Velo Yavor, meaning they are not indelibly written in Megillas Tanis. They're written in there, but they can also be expunged from the books. How do we take a festive day and expunge it? If there's a tragedy that falls on that date, so then the festive day is going to be removed and lifted. And as Rashi points out, if let's say any day between 1 through 8 is going to be a tragedy, so that means they don't do surgery, and they don't just simply take out one of the dates. Meaning if one of the 1 through 8 dates is going to be removed, the entire block is going to be removed. And so therefore, it can very well be that 1 through 8 is going to be removed because of a tragedy. And that's why now I have the 8 through 21, so 8 will still be there in Megillas Tanis as 8 through 21. So basically, now that you know this, now that you know that the dates are not permanent but removable, the Gemara now points out, now we can go back to our first question, and now we're going to give a third answer to the original question of this discussion. So remember, we were bothered earlier about the 29th day of Adar because of the overlap, because it's being covered by the 28th day of Adar and by the first day of Nisan. So the Gemara says, but now I get it. So the Gemara says, okay, but now we understand. The 28th day of Adar is in Megillas Tanis, but it's in there, it could also be removed. If there's a tragedy on the 28th day of Adar, so then it's no longer going to be a festive day. So now, what's left to support the 29th day of Adar? The first day of Nisan. Okay, good. So now we have a third answer to our question of, how is it that the 29th day of Adar is covered twice over? Good. So we have Abai's answer, we have Ravashi's answer, and now we have this new answer, which is the dates recorded in Megillas Tanis are not permanent. Okay, let's continue. Itmar. The Gemara now presents a Machlokas Amarayim. What's on the table now for discussion? And that is, who does Halacha follow like? Meaning, we have Megillas Tanis, we have a Machlokas between Rav Meir and Rav Yossi, whether it affects the day before and the day after. Let's just quickly review. Rav Yossi says that if it's a grade A date in Megillas Tanis, it'll affect the day before and the day after. You're not allowed to fast the day before nor the day after. If it's grade B, which means that it's the day that you're not allowed to fast, it only affects the day before, not the day after. That's Rav Yossi. Then we have Shitas Rabbi Meir, which is that if it's grade A, it only affects the day before, not the day after. If it's grade B, it doesn't affect the day before nor the day after. Who does the halacha fall like? Rav Chiya bar Asi Amar Rav Halacha Rav Yossi. So let's say it simply, Rav holds like Rav Yossi. And Shmuel Amar Halacha Rabbi Meir. And Shmuel says the halacha is like Rabbi Meir. Now it is interesting, I'll point out that generally speaking, we have a machlok between Rav Yossi and Rav Meir. Who do we follow like? So generally speaking, Ben's correct. Usually we follow like Rav Yossi. So over here it's interesting that there are opinions that follow Shmuel's opinion, is that we follow like Rabbi Meir. Umi Amar Shmuel Hachi. So the Gemara says, does Shmuel really state this position?
Follow Rav over Shmuel.
And by Yisurim, which this is an Isser, we're going to follow like Rav over Shmuel. Right. So all indications would be that we should follow Rav Yossi. We should follow Rav Yossi. We should follow like Rav. Okay. So halachik Rav Meir mi amar Shmuel hachi v'atanya. So okay, let's just go a little bit further, and then I'll go back to Tosfos. Shimon Gamla Omer. We have a Bryce, and the Bryce over here now is going to introduce us to a third opinion. And that's the opinion of Shimon Gamliel. Shimon Gamliel says, did you notice in the beginning of today's daf, when we quoted that first sentence out of Megillas Tanis, it said, I'm going to just quote it again, Eilin Yomen, these are the days, Deloli sane bahon. We don't fast on them. Umiksoseim. And for some of these dates, lo lemispad bahon. We don't eulogize on them. Even though it's a short sentence, but there's still an extraneous word, the word bahon is mentioned twice, and that's a bit excessive. And Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel notes this, and Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says, Ma tamalam bahon bahon shtei pa'amim, la malach shehein asurin, lif neem ulach areihem mutarin. So Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says, I disagree with Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Meir. And Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says that I think my opinion is that the day before and the day after are going to be permitted in fasting and eulogizing. And I don't care if it's grade A and I don't care if it's grade B. They're both going to be permitted. And oddly enough, Shmuel says that the halacha falls like Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. So, that's right. So that's the question. Meaning previously Shmuel followed like Rabbi Meir and now he's taking the position of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. So the Gemara explains. Shmuel was looking for the most lenient position. So originally he thought that Rabbi Meir was the most lenient position. And Kevin Deshamele Rabbi Shimon de Mekel Tvei Amar Halach Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. But then he learned of a more Mekel position, so he went to follow the more Mekel position. V'chein Amar Bali Amar Rabbi Chia Bar Abba Amar Rav Yochanan Halach Rav Yossi. Not only does Rav follow the halacha to be like Rav Yossi, but the Gemara quotes Rav Yochanan also follows the halacha to be like Rav Yossi. Amalei Rav Chia Bala Azbar Chaki Amar Rav Yochanan Halach Rav Yossi Adololi Isana. The Gemara says that when the halacha falls like Rav Yossi, that's only on the grade B festive days. Ki Amar Rav Yochanan Hachi. So okay, that's when Rav Yochanan follows like Rav Yossi. Okay, so basically now let's set ourselves up. Let's ask a very simple question, and let's see if we can give some answers. So basically now, we had a major machlokus amongst the Amoraim, who the halacha falls like, regarding the dates that are recorded in Megillas Tanis. And to quickly summarize, Rav goes like Rav Yossi. So if it's grade A, that means that you can't fast the day before the day after. If it's grade B, you can't fast the day before. That's Rav Yossi's position, and that's Rav's position. And to a certain degree, Rav Yochanan agrees with that as well. At least Rav Yochanan agrees that if it's a grade B festive day, so then he goes like Rav Yossi, that is that you can't fast the day before. And then if it's a grade A, okay, so he doesn't go like Rav Yossi, but still, according to Rav Yochanan, he goes like Rav Meir, you can't fast the day before. Then there's Shmuel's position, which Shmuel's always looking for the most lenient position. Now, by the way, leniency over here is a strange term. I understand it, but it's still strange. Leniency over here means that you get to fast the day before. Okay, I don't know if I would necessarily call that leniency, but lenience just simply means that the dates recorded in Megillas Tanis only affects those dates. It doesn't affect anything else. Okay, fine. That's Shmuel's position. And so now let's ask the question. And it's not us asking the question. Well, before we ask the question, again, let's remind each other. What did we learn back in Rosh Hashanah? Batla Megillas Tanis. Meaning now, today, these dates in Megillas Tanis are not observed. We don't observe these dates in Megillas Tanis. So for us, the discussion that we just had in the Gemara, for the most part, is academic. Academic's not the best word to use. It's Torah. We get reward for learning this, but it doesn't have application because we don't observe the dates mentioned in Megillas Tanis. On the other hand, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah tells us that there are two dates that are still in force. Those two dates are Chanukah and Purim. Those two dates that are mentioned in Megillas Tanis are still in force. And so now we can ask what will be an excellent question, which is, if these two dates are still in force, and we possibly like Rav Yossi, let's say we do, so now, what right do we have to fast the day before Purim? I'm sure you've heard, right, that the Jewish people fast the day before Purim. What do we call that? So we call that Tanis Esther. Now, I will tell you that Tanis Esther is not mentioned anywhere in the Mishnayos nor in the Gemara. Okay, that's just simply a fact. Okay, there's no mention of Megillas Tanis. No, I'm sorry, Megillas Tanis. Sorry. There's no mention of Tanis Esther anywhere there. Now, you'll say to me, well, Tanis Esther is mentioned in the Megillah. Yes and no. Tanis Esther is mentioned in the Megillah, but first of all, historically speaking, Esther did not fast the day before Purim. That's a That's a misnomer. That's a misconception. Correct. She fasted 11 months prior. It happened to have been she fasted on Pesach. It was 3 days and three nights consecutively. And I'm sure we wouldn't want to do that. Neither on Pesach nor the extended time that she fasted. Neither here nor there. Meaning, let's just deal with the fact. The fact on the ground is that we fast the day before Purim. And so now we're entitled to ask the question, well, what gives us the right to do so, considering the fact that it's Purim is Megillas Tanis, and the halacha falls like Rav Yossi, and you're not allowed to fast the day before the date in Megillas Tanis. So this is not me asking this question. Tosos on our daf asks this question. Tosos writes, see the last Tosos on this page. Rav Amar Lachki, Rav Yossi, Damar Lefan of Aser Aval Lachar of Mutter. V'im Tomar, and if you will say, Kevin Amar Lachki, Rav Yossi, Heich Anu Mit'anim Lefnei HaPurim. How can we fast before Purim? D'imishim Debat LeMegillas Tanis, Mikam Akam HaChanuk of HaPurim, Lo Bidlu. And yes, it's true, we have negated Megillas Tanis, but not the day before, I'm sorry, not Purim, not Chanukah. So how can we fast as a Jewish people the day before Purim? Okay, fantastic question. Let's see. Tosos over here is going to give two answers. V'yei shlomer. D'ahad amr chanukah purim d'lo bitlu ratzalamer hadinim shalahem la'asosim yom tov. U'd'lo le'sana b'hon. Ava b'dinim d'lefneim bitlu. So one answer of Tosos is that Purim and Chanukah are still in existence and are still observed, but they don't have Megillas Tanis status. Meaning, basically, the days are observed, but when we say that Megillas Tanis was bin batel, we include even Purim and Chanukah as well. Meaning, all the effects of Megillas Tanis are negated. So we'll still observe Purim and Chanukah, but not from a Megillas Tanis standpoint. And so therefore, the day before and the day after would be permitted. That's one possible suggestion in terms of what gives us the right to fast the day before. Od yesh lomar, another possible answer. Kevin de yom shlof ne'a purim, sh'nis batal miyom tov, didu, sh'ayu regil ma'asos behem, v'nis batal yom tov shlem, ha'chinami yesh lan lomar, sh'bitlu mishum tam lif ne'a purim. So, another possible answer is, remember what we said earlier this morning, dates in Megillas Tanis can be written, they can also be removed. Maybe, says Tosfos, the 13th day of Adar, what we call Tanis Esther, maybe that day has been, so to say, stripped of its status for reasons which we will see later on. We're not going to see later this morning, but we'll see tomorrow why it is that maybe we can make this argument that the status of the 13th day of Adar has been stripped of any status. Okay? Is this the right place to stop? Yeah. Okay. So let's just quickly wrap up, and tomorrow we'll finish up the discussion. So again, today we finished up the talk of the Kohen not getting drunk and not doing the avoda. I'm sorry, not getting it and not letting his hair grow long. Bizman hazeh, what gives him the right to do so? So that was the Gemara's discussion in the beginning of today's daf. Okay. Answer is Rebbe. Rebbe allows it. And then we treat ourselves to a discussion of Megillas Tanis, where the Gemara in Daf Yud Ches, really from beginning to end, we just didn't finish the Daf today, but the Daf Yud Ches is dedicated to the discussion of Megillas Tanis. The Gemara's conclusion, the Halacha falls like Rav Yossi, at least Rav's position is the Halacha falls like Rav Yossi, that any date recorded in Megillas Tanis, not only you're not allowed to fast on its day, but if it's grade A, you can't fast the day before the day after. If it's grade B, you can't fast the day before. Okay, that's the halacha, that's Rav's position. And then we asked the question, we ended off today with asking the question, so how do we fast on Tanis Esther? So we saw two answers provided by Tosfos, and tomorrow we're going to continue the discussion.